set into the landmark wall.
You might be interested, Jack. The Acadians, or Arcadians, were what became the Cajuns from down around your part.
The boy nodded, the light breeze tugging at the white froth of hair that tumbled over his narrow shoulders.
Look at burn bits.
Lori pointed at the sill of the great open window. The wood was charred and scorched, rotting where 100 years of rain had penetrated it.
Must have been some heavy hot spots around here.
One of the bad parts, if we're truly in New England here. Uncle Tyus McCann was real wise. Said the west and southerly west got burned up badly by the missiles, but the long winter came hardest up this way.
Let's settle it.
The armorer reached into one of his capacious pockets and pulled out the tiny folding sextant. He took a sight at the sun and then busied himself with his creased maps and calculations.
Yeah, nearest big ville I can work is Boston.
Acadia was up in Maine, as near as I can recall.
Look.
Christy pointed to the back of the rough shelter. There was a silvery metal plaque, around 5 feet long and 18 inches deep. It had an etched map of the coastline across from the harbor, with names on it and a few lines of text.
It's called Isla Hot, this island we're on.
It's pronounced Isla Ho, my dear boy.
Says here that there's a mountain over there on the big island. Cadillac Mountain. The first rays of sunlight to touch the old United States used to brush the top of it. It talks about all the hiking trails there are around this island.
Looks like someone tried to chisel this last bit away. You can still read it, though.
Where?
There.
Ah, yes.
All of them could read it, though Lori and Jack had problems with some of the longer words on the inscription. Isla Ho was once part of Acadia National Park. Founded in 1919, it was the first such park in the East and remained the only one in all of New England. For nearly 80 years, the 40,000 acres of Acadia provided a haven for all lovers of nature. In 1996, the government, in its infinite wisdom, pushed through the bill that took Isla Ho away from the national park system and handed it to the military for the building of a massive, secret establishment.
They mean the redoubt.
Yes, right, child, they surely do.
There was nationwide outrage at this decision and protests by environmental groups from all over the world. An attempt by Greenpeace to thwart the plans ended in tragedy and the deaths of dozens of protesters. This taking of Acadia was followed in the next months by the government's assuming control through the Pentagon of all national parks. Doc Tanner rubbed absently at the scratched metal.
The times were changing, friends. Wasn't any use to block up the hole. The wheel was in spin.
No success like failure, Doc. And failure's no damn success at all.
He had it right, ma'am, and no mistake. And here's all that's left. Nature coming back and covering it all up.
Ryan pointed at the plaque.
Surprised the military left this here.
They'd got what they wanted here. Why bother anymore?
JB moved outside the ruined shelter, peering down towards the water.
If we're getting off this island today, we'd best start.
Ryan joined him.
Looks like it might not be that easy.
The quakes that had shifted the coast of Maine 100 years ago had destroyed the lower part of the military blacktop, reducing it to a corrugated ribbon of weed-scattered rubble. The seven friends picked their way carefully over it, nearing the rolling breakers of the sea. The closer they got to the high tide level, the more the mist-shrouded coast of the mainland seemed to recede from them. Ryan's first guess had been a couple of miles of open water. Now it looked like five or more. Jack glanced up at the sky.
Don't want to get caught at night.
The bright sunlight had gone, vanishing behind a purplish haze of thin chem clouds. Even as they all looked up, a piece of age-old nuke debris came searing back into Earth's atmosphere, burning up in a dazzling golden crackle of light. Without the sun, the fall colors of the trees were oddly muted and dull. JB checked his wrist chron.
Be dark in about 3 hours.
Like the others, he'd reset it as soon as they hit the outdoors, making sure everyone had the right time. The only guide was the sun. If they ever hit any sort of civilization, they could alter the chrons to fit in with what they called time there. Ryan nibbled at a piece of rough skin on his thumb.
Be pushed to find some way of getting across there in that time. Wouldn't want to be stuck halfway across. Can't tell what kind of currents there are between the island and the land there.
Try and build a boat, and then sail at first dawning.
Ryan glanced up and down the boulder-strewn beach.
Like I said, talk's cheap. Action comes a lot more expensive. Don't see much to build a boat from along here.
They agreed that they'd split up. Ryan would go west with Christy and Donphil. The other four would try east, scavenging along the desolate shoreline for anything they might be able to use. Ryan watched the cormorants circling and dipping a quarter mile out.
Meet back here in an hour and a half.
The Apache kept breaking away from them to explore the wealth of rock pools that fringed the long beach.
Man would not starve here. All kinds of food. Shellfish and weed.
Better than self-eats?
Anything's better than self-eats. We can go back up the road to the redoubt for the night. Maybe cook up some sort of stew?
Easy.
But the first priority was to find something that would float. Anything. Doc had once, months back, been talking to Ryan about a vacation he'd enjoyed at the seaside with his wife, before the first trawling. Ryan recalled the old man mentioning the interest in what he'd called beachcombing, scavenging the shore for anything the storms might have washed up from its copious bounty. Now, a century after Armageddon, there were few men left to sail the oceans, and little for the hungry waters to feed on and cast up on the land. The first stretch of exposed beach had nothing larger than a man's hand, only a few splintered pieces of wood. A long way up among the rocks, they saw the trunk of an immense pine, its end feathered and worn by the sea. But it was at least 100 feet long, just as useless as the scattered twigs.
Around the headland!
Could be.
Ryan knew that the currents would often swirl about such places. If they were to find anything that might help them off the island, then it could be around the narrow spit of protruding land.
It is a good day, my brothers.
Ryan jogged after the barefooted Indian, picking his way between the smaller boulders. The movement of the sea had funneled all sorts of rubbish and driftwood into the narrow bay, piling it around the rocks. There were also a number of dark blue plastic drums that looked as if they might once have held some kind of chemicals. A tangle of cords and ropes was wound all about the detritus, holding it together. Ryan stooped and tugged at it, testing it for strength. Finding it gave a little, but wouldn't break. Christy folded her long red hair back out of her eyes.
Could make a good raft out of all this, lover.
Now that he was close up, Ryan could see lettering on the drums, white, stenciled, faded away over the decades until it was almost illegible. He traced the letters with his finger. Acetylcholine, ammonium carbaryl ester. Then came a string of letters and numbers and the name of a town, East Rutherford, New Jersey. That was all. Each of the drums looked as if it had once held about 25 gallons of liquid.
Empty. We can use some of that wood and lash it all together with a couple dozen of these. Find us some paddles or use blankets for a sail. One way or the other, we can do it.
He kicked again at the drums, jumping back as he disturbed a large crab, 3 feet across its gray-green shell, eyes on waving stalks. Its pincers looked as though they could easily have sliced through a horse's leg.
Ah, by son!
The Apache hopped sideways with remarkable speed and dexterity. His shades nearly fell off as he dodged the skittering monster, vaulting over a jagged hunk of granite.
This some Indian way of hunting supper?
Ryan watched as the shaman put as much distance between himself and the muty crab as he could. Despite his amusement, Ryan took the precaution of drawing his blaster just in case. But the crustacean made its shuffling, lateral way down into the edge of the surf, its eyes the last part to disappear. Ryan wondered.